Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso-Steuer.
Stu does America.
Follow the show on YouTube, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Be sure to subscribe and hit the bell for notifications. It is the most wonderful time of the year. And that time, of course, is the annual re-airing of the greatest Christmas movie of all time. Yes, the Christmas twist is here on this program. Do not miss it. Stick around later in the show to experience the Christmas magic if you haven't before. And of course, if you have, you already know what I'm talking about. We're also going to start here, though, by doing Trump's 2026 plans. Big speech by Donald Trump last night. A lot of people thought it was going to be some big Venezuela war announcement. I'm not sure that's how you announce a war. Hey, we're scheduling this 2 days in advance, just to let everybody know. That's not usually the way that works. It did not work this time. It wasn't a super long speech, but there was a lot going on. And you know, when you're president in the United States, there's a lot of stuff that happens in your presidency. A lot of stuff that happened in your life at that time. There are ups and there are downs, right? There are some real highs, some real lows. Right now, Donald Trump isn't necessarily at the highest point in his administration, at least according to the polls. Trump's approval is down 8 points since the start of the year. And, you know, you've seen a lot of polls in the high 30s and low 40s, right? That's where he was mostly in the first term of his presidency. Second term started off a lot higher than that, was much more optimistic. It has ticked down a little bit since. So when something like that happens, you usually are going to make some decisions to try to kind of rejuvenate things, get things going again, try to kickstart something new in the new year. And that's what we had. Trump attempts a domestic reset with fast-paced White House address last night. I want to give you some of this here, and I want to go through it with you. A couple things I thought were pretty interesting. Number one, I think a change in tactics when it comes to talking about affordability. This has been one of the things that everyone's talked about, affordability. Trump's tactic kind of before was, look, this is a hoax the Democrats are doing. And I think what he meant by that, if I may, is to say, it's not that prices aren't high. The hoax here is that the Democrats are blaming us for it. That's the scam, right? That's what I think he was going for there, but he never really articulated that way. This is how he started the speech last night.
11 months ago, I inherited a mess, and I'm fixing it. When I took office, inflation was the worst in 48 years, and some would say in the history of our country, which caused prices to be higher than ever before, making life unaffordable for millions and millions of Americans. This happened during a Democrat administration, and it's when we first began hearing the word affordability. Our border was open, and because of this, our country was being invaded by an army of 25 million people, many who came from prisons and jails, mental institutions, and insane asylums. They were drug dealers, gang members, and even 11,888 murderers, more than 50% of whom killed more than one person. This is what the Biden administration allowed to happen to our country. And it can never be allowed to happen again. We had men playing in women's sports, transgender for everybody, crime at record levels with law enforcement and words such as that, just absolutely forbidden. We had the worst trade deals ever made, and our country was laughed at from all over the world, but they're not laughing anymore. Over the past 11 months, we have brought more positive change to Washington than any administration in American history.
Kind of a strong start to a speech. You know, there's some stuff in there. There's some stats you can kind of quibble with for sure. Transgender for everybody, even you. That's right. How many times did you change gender during Joe Biden? But you get what he's talking about here, right? It was all over the place. It was all over the place. And he's come in and set a kind of a guideline here, set, I think, the tone. Certainly where he can control, whether we're paying, the military's paying for surgeries for transgendered people. He's been able to step in and do something about that. The main thing I want to focus on there, though, is he inherited a mess from the Biden administration and he's fixing it. That is a tactic that at times can be overused. Barack Obama, most famously, in like 2015, was still saying it was George Bush's fault about the economy. Like, I, you know, at some level, that excuse does run out. But it also is an important thing for a new president. And that's why I really didn't like the approach of, oh, this is just a hoax. Oh, actually, everything's already great and we solved it already. Saying instead, we had a real problem that we walked in on. It's why you elected me in the first place. And we're in the process of fixing it. You can see the progress. Let me tell you about the progress is a much better message. Now, I will say it has a shelf life. You can't just say forever. You can't do the Barack Obama thing. You're not going to get away with it like he did. You're going to have to at some point show progress. Now, we did have new inflation numbers that came out today where inflation was lower than expected. And it's been as low as it really has been in a long time. I think it was 2.7%. So that's good. What I'm saying mainly here is this is much better messaging. This is much better messaging. And it's a key tool for a president. You don't come in and turn these things around in a minute. It takes some time. I mean, same thing with Reagan. The inflation rate under Reagan was still going up, if I remember right. It wasn't until like mid-1981 where it really started coming back down, early in mid-1981, or 82, actually, 82, sorry. Yeah, 80, he was elected, 81 took office. It was up high for most of 81. It started coming down in 82, and that's when things really turned around and obviously led to maybe the biggest landslide election in American history. And the reason this is an important thing for presidents to have, you might say, well, it sounds like an excuse. At some level, it is. It's not an excuse, though, without reason. You know, you don't get to just control. You're not the king. You know, if you were in one of these other countries, if you were Kim Jong-un coming into office, you pretty much got to get that. All your changes can be implemented within the first week. It's not the way this country works, thankfully. You know, if you're your team goes, you know, 4-13, and you get hired as the coach, you have a year, right? You might go 2-15 the next year or 5-12, whatever it is. But you can say, look, we came in here. Things weren't going so great. I need to have time to get things turned around. So you have that time. And that is an important thing. Trump shouldn't abandon that time. Take advantage of that time as much as you can. And you're going to probably have to show real progress by June. Maybe the inflation numbers today are the first step there. Now, another big announcement was this big check to military members, $1,776. Here is Donald Trump explaining that.
Along with the just passed One Big Beautiful Bill, tonight I am also proud to announce that more than 1,450,000, think of this, 1,450,000 military service members will receive a special, we call Warrior Dividend before Christmas, a Warrior Dividend in honor of our nation's founding in 1776. We are sending every soldier $1,776. Think of that. And the checks are already on the way. Nobody understood that one until about 30 minutes ago.
It's an interesting time to be alive, that I will say. Look, nobody deserves more money than our military. They're fantastic. I love the troops. I love our military members. We talk to them all the time. They're, you know, they watch this show. They listen to the radio show. You guys are awesome. And if anybody deserves a big chunk of money like this, it's you guys. There's no question about that. You know, if I step back from that a little bit and just my emotional tie to the troops and my pragmatic and logical tie to understanding that they do such a great job, they deserve more money, I'm fine with that. I do think we should step back and think a little bit about the other sides of this, which is number one, we don't really have this money, right? This is not real. This is not like our money. We're printing money. We're borrowing money to give this out. We are not in a position where we have a surplus. We're in a position where we have a massive, one of the highest deficits we've ever had. And, you know, look, yes, Biden's were really, really high. Trump's are really, really high, too. It's not really a big part of his platform to address the deficit. So we're just kind of, he's like, well, we're spending the tariff money. We'll get to a little bit more of that here in a second. But, it's just one of those things. We don't actually really have that money. The second part of this is the process here is a little unclear. Like, why can he just give money away to the troops? Like, where is that? How does it look? If you get a couple hundred billion dollars in tariffs, that's great. If you like the idea of the government having more of your money, that's fantastic. The question, though, is what do you do with that money? Well, the answer to that is not the president just gets to pick. That's not how that works. The president has to go through Congress to spend that. There might be just a pile of military money sitting around in some budget that they weren't using, and that's what he's paying for this with this for. I don't know, honestly. I frankly don't know. And I will say the other thing about this is nobody in Congress has the balls to step up and say, no, you can't give the troops more money. If you want to put that through Congress, it's going to pass. So why not go through Congress and do it the right way? Maybe there's some other they didn't reveal what the funding mechanism was for this. So we'll have to kind of speculate on that until we actually know. Here is Trump talking about a big tax refund. Maybe you're coming your way.
Next year, you will also see the results of the largest tax cuts in American history that were really accomplished through our great, big, beautiful bill, perhaps the most sweeping legislation ever passed in Congress. We wrapped 12 different bills up into one beautiful bill. That includes no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, and no tax on Social Security for our great seniors. Under these cuts, many families will be saving between $11,000 and $20,000 a year, and next spring is projected to be the largest tax refund season of all time.
Not sure those numbers will be that big, but of course, these tax cuts are in the Big Beautiful Bill. Much of the Big Beautiful Bill was just continuing previous tax cuts, his own previous tax cuts, which I think he deserves credit for. And it would have been a disaster if we did not continue them, though I don't expect a huge additional benefit from keeping them in place. But there are some new tax pieces there that, of course, are part of the Big Beautiful Bill. And he did talk about that. Now, Trump also proposed a $2,000 dividend funded by tariffs. Now, I guess it seems like we're spending this tariff money over and over and over again. But he says it's going to be, you know, more like standard stimulus checks as opposed to what we saw with the military, which is more targeted at, you know, one group. Again, I'm not a fan of stimulus checks. You probably know that. So I'm not super excited about this. I think there is a part of the tariff situation that is appealing, that if you're going to charge higher taxes on goods that you're buying, and that's what a tariff is, it's just an import tax paid for by American importers. Those people, wind up raising the prices. We have seen some prices raised. They haven't been so dramatic that it's upended the economy entirely. I think it's been a drag, but I don't think it's been much more than that. New tariff collection hits $200 billion. So this is a pretty large tax increase. You could say you like them or you don't like them. My point here, though, is, you know, you're going to take in $200 billion more. What's going to happen? Well, we're still massively in debt. So giving it away is a way to soften the burden, right? If you have, if you're taking a tax increase and you're putting it on where it's going to hit a bunch of people in the middle class, those people have problems because of that. You throw $2,000 their way, they have fewer problems, right? That's the idea with the farmers as well. We're not selling soybeans to China anymore because of the trade war. Well, we'll just take the tariff money in. We'll throw some of that at the farmers. Everything will be fine. Now, look, this is not, I would say, standard conservative thought. You might like it a little bit more than I do, but that is the thought of the president. I mean, and it is, to be clear, a redistribution of wealth. That's what it is. So the money comes, it used to go to one place, and now it's going to a new place. That's what this is. You know, you might say under these circumstances it's justifiable. You might say under these circumstances we have to do it. There's a lot of various conversations people have with themselves as to why this is an okay policy. I don't think we would have been okay with it with previous presidents. But that being said, you know, it's not my favorite. I'm not a fan, but that doesn't mean, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the opinion is, honestly, of conservatives anymore on some of the stuff. You know, some of it is, I think, you just feel a little off with it, you know, but that doesn't mean you oppose it completely. Here is Trump talking about tariffs.
Already, I've secured a record-breaking $18 trillion of investment into the United States, which means jobs, wage increases, growth, factory openings, and far greater national security. Much of this success has been accomplished by tariffs. My favorite word, tariffs, which for many decades have been used successfully by other countries against us, but not anymore. Companies know that If they build in America, there are no tariffs. And that's why they're coming home to the USA in record numbers. They're building factories and plants at levels we haven't seen. AI, automobiles, we're doing what nobody thought was even possible. Okay,
The interesting part about that is, you know, there is some money coming into the country, at least has been promised to the country. Not much of it is here yet. And some of it does seem a little fantastical, like, you know, places like Qatar, you know, promising more than their entire GDP that they're going to invest here in America. Probably not going to happen at that scale. But certainly there's a ton of AI money coming in. That's definitely real. We have seen a decline in manufacturing jobs since these tariffs came into place. That doesn't mean that doesn't turn around eventually. It could be that it's more overall weakness that's causing that rather than the tariffs. You know, one of the problems with building factories in America is a lot of the components you use to make for the equipment and in the factories come from overseas. So the actual building of American factories has gotten quite a bit more expensive since all this stuff started, and that might be also a drag on what's going on there. Trump is touting reductions in drug prices, blames Democrats for ACA premium increases. He's 100% right to blame the Democrats on the ACA increases. You know, it's not even questionable. I will say the drug thing that he keeps doing, let me play this for you. This is Trump talking about drug prices.
In addition, I'm doing what no politician of either party has ever done, standing up to the special interest to dramatically reduce the price of prescription drugs. I negotiated directly with the drug companies and foreign nations, which were taking advantage of our country for many decades, to slash prices on drugs and pharmaceuticals by as much as 400, 500, and even 600%. In other words, your drug costs will be plummeting downward, and I use the threat of tariffs to get foreign
countries. All right, so you get that. Now, of course, everyone's pointing out you can't slash a price by 500%. That would mean that they're paying you to take it. Okay, you can only go to 100% is the maximum on the decrease side. I don't know what exactly he's going for. He keeps using that phrase over and over and over again, so I'm not exactly sure what he means by it. But obviously, that's just not a statistical possibility. But I think he is right that he's worked with these companies and tried to bring prices down. Talking about, you know, the Trump RX thing. He talked about the GLP-1 situation relatively recently, trying to bring those prices down. And some of those prices have come down, which, of course, is great for a consumer. He's also... hanging plaques mocking Biden and Obama as well. In fact, he's got plaques all over the place, double plaques on some. You can show these pictures if you want. I will say, like, I read some of the plaques for these presidents. I laughed at the Joe Biden auto pen picture, honestly, when I saw it. That was pretty funny. The plaques are a little bit over-explaining the joke, but it is very Donald Trump, as if I think Donald Trump actually wrote all of them. I would be shocked if Donald Trump did not write every single word of all of these plaques. It's a very funny situation. I mean, Trump is a funny guy, and I think, you know, he's being a little edgy. He's poking people with all of this stuff, but at the end of the day, what you look at is the policies. I think there's been, the first year has been filled with a kind of a wide spectrum of policy successes and failures. And I think you have to look at this in context to say that there's been a lot of really good things that have happened. I don't think you can deny that. On the other hand, there's been some that I think have gotten in his way. He said his favorite word is tariffs. Of course, that's the one I like to bring up as well as my example of a policy I don't think has really worked out for him. The affordability thing, people see tariffs as a price increase. And when they're complaining about affordability, and you keep telling them the solution to that is a tax increase on imported goods, you know, even if you're right, even if you're 100% right, that long term, what will happen here is all these factories will come in here and they'll build all this stuff and we won't have to depend on outside. And those prices, for whatever reason, come down in the United States because of all that, maybe increased competition. Whatever your scenario is in your head, they're all long-term scenarios. And a president should be motivated by the long-term. When you look at long-term politics, what's good for the country, that should be your motivation. On the other side, when you're talking about short-term political interests, you know, I don't know that those policies are going to give you the sort of burst you're looking for. As I mentioned, we're down in manufacturing jobs so far. So we will see if this turns around here in the next, you probably got about 6 months before people are really forming their opinions on what's going to happen in 2026. And then after that, you've got a couple more years until probably J.D. Vance versus somebody. So it's going to be an interesting time. We'll talk more about it coming up. There is a quiet confidence in clothing that you don't need to shout to get your attention. Like a heavy knit that feels solid in your hands, seams that lie flat and clean, a sweatshirt that settles comfortably the first time you pull it over your head and, keeps that shape for months and months later, maybe years later. American Giant puts its resources into that kind of construction, slow, careful, and in U.S. factories staffed by workers who take pride in what leaves their sewing tables. I will say, they've been doing this from long before there's tariff talk, right? They've just been doing this because they think it's the right thing to do. That's the whole thing. Instead of outsourcing to whoever can make it cheapest, American Giant chooses the deliberate path. They use stronger materials, tighter quality control, and a commitment to domestic jobs. It's not nostalgia. It is an honest belief that well-built is better. It matters more. Every piece that they make represents a choice investment in durability, in craftsmanship, and in the people and communities behind the product. When your clothes align with that philosophy, you're not just buying another hoodie. You're buying something that is meant to stay with you, wash after wash, year after year. American Giant, go there. American-Giant.com. Save 20% when you use the name Stu in checkout. It's American-Giant.com. The promo code is Stu. American-Giant.com. The code is Stu.
Kaffee in seiner besten Form mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Tchibo. In jeder Cubo-Kapsel steckt Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Für Espresso, Kaffeecrema oder Kaffee Grande auf Knopfdruck. Die neue Cubo One überzeugt mit Premium-Design, kompakter Größe und kleinem Einstiegspreis ab 29 Euro. Dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie wird jede Tasse besonders aromatisch mit samtiger Crema. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo-Kapselmaschinen in deiner Tchibo-Filiale und auf tchibo.de.
The Brown University shooter has hampered, the manhunt has been hampered by lack of surveillance video. Now, it's weird because I've seen a decent amount of surveillance video. In fact, they released more video of someone else they were saying was not a person of interest, but someone who was around a person of interest. I don't know if they were talking or what. Or they think they were hanging out, so they think they might have more information on the shooter. So that's going on right now, and they have some decent video of that guy. One thing I can't understand is we have video everywhere, right? There's cameras everywhere. Why don't we have more surveillance video of this guy? Why don't they have enough? And when we do have it, why isn't it clear? When we zoom in, it's always blurry. It's the same story every single time. The other part about this is if we're going to have a surveillance state, okay? I don't like the idea of a surveillance state, but if we're going to have one, shouldn't we be solving all these murders? Quickly. That's supposed to be the upside of the surveillance state, right? You get to actually solve the crimes. Seemingly the exact opposite is happening in our country right now. I want to show you this chart. It's one of the most shocking charts that I've seen in a long time. America's declining homicide clearance rates. If you look back in the 1960s, we're solving about 90% of the murders out there. That has dropped dramatically. In fact, it bottomed out in 2020 at just over half. Now, it's ticked up a little bit since to about 60%, so that's a good bounce back. But it feels like we should be solving all the murders or really close to it. Now, I know this would affect everybody's true crime programming. We wouldn't have as many cold cases to solve, and that would be a negative. You need more documentaries on Netflix, there's no doubt about it. But outside of that, this seems like a really bad development. It's very strange, too. I would think for sure you would at least have, if not even, I would say, an increase in the percentage of homicide cases we're clearing. Now, sometimes there's just technical weirdness in this data. There's different things that explain some of that drop for sure, but not all of it. And it's a very strange development as we go forward. Okay, speaking of very strange developments, did you know that Kamala Harris once ran for president of the United States? In fact, she did it twice. What if I could sell you on a third time, though? She is definitely flirting with that. She's talking about it on a bunch of shows, and she's out there now. Now she's figured out a way to talk negatively about Democrats after the race is over. She says, Democrats are very, very much stuck in the past. We're not speaking in the way that sounds authentic or relatable or just relevant, says a person who has never in her life said anything authentic or relatable or relevant. She says, we have to speak to this moment. And more just gibberish and word salad to explain that, but should you be surprised by that at this point? Now, the Democrats did this big review of what they wanted to do. They had this big review that came out The 2024 election review was talked about widely. We never actually saw it, and now they're saying we never will. Democrats keep 2024 election review under wraps, saying a public rehash won't help them win in 2026. And I will say, not the worst idea I've ever heard. I think people realizing how bad they are and focusing on that might hurt them in 2026. The best thing they can do in 2026 is say, which they surely will, Trump is bad and evil and Hitler and whatever. Like, that's what they're going to do. They're going to try to make this another Trump election without Trump being on the ballot. And we have seen success with that tactic. In 2018, this is a good example of it. In 2018, that was kind of their pitch. Trump is bad. He's evil. He's Hitler. But Trump wasn't actually on the ballot to get people to come out to the polls. And what happened in that election was a pretty big wave for the Democrats. That's what they're counting on again. Can they get there? It's going to be tough. It's not impossible. Of course, we'll be going over that stuff in the new year in much more detail. But the House is very much at risk. I mean, it would be at this point to me, I'm trying to think, is a shock the right term? I think so. It wouldn't be the most stunning thing in the history of politics. It wouldn't be nearly as stunning as even Donald Trump winning in 2016. But I would say it would be pretty surprising if Republicans can overwhelm that historical deficit that they're at with their first midterm in a new presidency. Very, very standard to lose that election. And then on top of that, it could be worse. Now, if you think of things that could be worse, and you think of a way, what's the path for the Republicans to actually do a good job and somehow win in 2026? This might give you a little bit of hope. Congressional Democrats' approval rating, the lowest since 2009. How low? Just 18% of respondents approve of the job congressional Democrats are doing. 73% disapprove. So that is not solid. I will say, when you talk about approval ratings, maybe the highest approval rating of all time, you're just about to run into that, because we're talking about the holiday classic film, The Christmas Twist. We play it once a year. It's a movie starring myself, Glenn Beck, Pat Gray, all your favorites. It's The Christmas Twist, and be sure to stick around after that. I have a few things I want to say about the coming year and some exciting things to expect from myself and my team. There's a lot of cool stuff coming up, but maybe nothing cooler than The Christmas Twist. That's next. A good night doesn't fix everything, but it does fix a lot. When you sleep deeply, you think more clearly, you handle stress better, and you move throughout the day without feeling like you're dragging an anchor behind you. Beam created Dream Powder to support that kind of rest, a warm nighttime drink designed to help you unwind naturally instead of forcing it. Dream combines magnesium, L-theanine, reishi, apigenin, and a gentle touch, a dab of melatonin as well. Each ingredient helps relax the body and settle the mind so that sleep comes easier and it stays deeper. And because it tastes genuinely good too, you're not gonna like, it's not one of those things where you're like forcing it down like a shot. Like, this is actually really, really good. It's like delicious hot chocolate. They have some great flavors too. I love the cinnamon hot chocolate is probably my favorite. If you have been waiting for the right time to try Dream, this is it. Go to shopbeam.com/stew. The code is Stew. Take advantage of my exclusive offer for up to 40% off Beam's Dream Powder. With the discount code Stew, you can get their best-selling Dream Powder for just $39. How much would you pay for a great night of sleep? I mean, why not? With the discount we're giving you, it's like $1.25 a night, I think. So check it out. It's shopbeam.com/stew. shopbeam.com/stew.
And with only 3 reported deaths, organizers say the annual Children's Flammable Toy Exhibition will be held again next season. Finally, the city has announced plans to go ahead with its proposed combination handgun, cigarette, and pork rind factory. The site for this slice of heaven on earth is our own historic hometown square. And so far, all 300 existing tenants have decided to sell, except for Noel Anderson, owner of local cookie store, The Christmas Twist.
Honey, turn off the TV. I've got amazing news. I just closed another business deal. Since, you know, I'm a businessman. And now I'm officially getting that big business commission.
I wish you wouldn't always talk about money around the holidays.
But honey, now I can afford the one thing I really wanted. Noel, will you marry me?
Thad, that's the biggest diamond I've ever seen.
Of course it is. From the richest boyfriend you've ever had. What do you say to a lifetime with Thad?
Well, I guess so.
Did you hear that, world? She said, I guess so. Oh, this is the greatest day of my life. We're gonna have the best Christmas ever. Like a family. Me, you, and my money.
Wow, is it cold out there?
I bet Santa himself will get frostbite. Did you finish decorating at least?
I sure did. I hung up so much tinsel that now I've got tinsels instead of tonsils.
Guys, are you watching TV? Okay, just because I was driving here and I was then parking and then walking in doesn't mean that I didn't understand that news was about to break. Quick, turn it on!
And in case you just happened to turn your television set on, there is breaking news. In an attempt to go ahead with the new handgun cigarette pork rind factory, the mayor has officially made public an offer to buy the lone holdout local cookie store, The Christmas Twist. The mayor announced his offer for the 600 square foot cookie store. $11 million. But he did place one condition. Store owner Noel Anderson only has 24 hours to decide. It's now safe to turn your television off again.
In other news, my kitty cat, Noodles, is still missing.
$11 million for this dump? You bought it for 18 grand.
I know, but how can you put a price tag on Christmas?
You're not selling Christmas. You're selling a meaningless collection of bricks and asbestos walls covered in toxic lead tinsel.
Thad, how can you say Christmas is meaningless?
I didn't say that. Just listen to me. Maybe if you just ran a cookie store, or you ran a Christmas cookie store, or you just ran a butter cookie store, but you only sell the pretzel-shaped butter cookies. Nobody likes the pretzel-shaped butter cookies.
Oh, really? Then why did I sell three to customers this year?
Well, two of them were me, and the other one was a guy hiding from an Amber Alert. This is the worst business model of all time.
It's not a business model. It's my dream.
I am far too businessy for this. You have 24 business hours to decide.
It's okay, Noel. It's okay. You know, my grandpappy used to say, if it's all about the money, then it's all about nothing. Of course, when he said that, he was talking about $1.38.
This is $11 million. That's like John Kerry wife money, right? What's wrong with you?
Well, it all started one night when I was looking at the Christmas lights, and I ran over a homeless person.
Wait, you ran over what?
Don't worry, you're gonna be okay.
Well, you've crushed every bone in my body. My pancreas is still in your wheel well. I'm pretty sure I'm not gonna be okay.
Oh, homeless vagrant, what can I do to make your pancreasless Christmas spirit live on?
There's only one thing. You know, other than calling 911, I really always wanted to open up a Christmas cookie store.
I can do that. I'm an amazing baker. I can make snickerdoodle, chocolate chip, molasses.
The store can only sell those pretzel butter cookies, the ones that nobody likes.
that's the worst business model I've ever heard, like in the history of mankind.
No, no, it's not a business model. It's my dream.
So, you killed a homeless person, huh? Well, I guess that's the way the cookie crumbles, huh?
They good?
Hey-o! I hear you got a crapper to be plunged.
Yes, I stopped up the crapper. I've just been so stressed with my store closing that last night I binged on fig pudding.
Ooh, that'll stop up a crapper,
all
right. I love fig pudding and the crapper.
Really?
We have so much in common. I love fig pudding and I clogged up my crapper last night too.
I suppose we're all supposed to believe that my cat Noodles ends up dead the same weekend George Soros just happens to be in town.
And in other news, we finally find out the future of our new handgun cigarette and pork rind factory in just 12 hours. 12 hours from now. Mark your calendar. Noelle Anderson will make her big decision. Still no word on why the mayor decided to make the deadline a national holiday, or why the mayor would present the offer on the TV.
Honey, did you make your decision yet? Look, I understand that this story is your dream, your heart, your soul, your deal that you made as you committed what a jury would likely consider manslaughter and killing a homeless man hallucinating about cookies. But it's $11 million. Don't be an idiot.
How can you talk about dollars and manslaughter at a time like this? We can't sell the store. Where would all my pretzel cookies go?
They're not alive. It's not materially where they would go.
Where will people buy their pretzel cookies for Santa? Santa loves these cookies.
Noelle, Santa wants chocolate chip cookies. Yeah.
You take that back. Take it back.
Noelle, you wanna think about your pretzel cookies? Not about the money. It's about how dumb you are. I mean, it's a little bit about the money, but it's mostly about how dumb you are. I can't marry someone this dumb. Unless it's a Kardashian, maybe. Look, sell the store or I'm calling the engagement off. You now have 12 business hours to decide.
Ho-ho's here. It's Uncle Billy.
Oh, no. What's wrong, Noelle?
I might lose my store. My businessman fiancé gave me an ultimatum, and I think I'm in love with a common laborer.
Oh, my.
Who looks suspiciously like the homeless man that I ran over. Except he's wearing glasses. And I'm so torn.
Yeah. Well, you know, Noelle, my grandpappy was once faced with a Christmas choice, a choice just like yours. Should he marry his male lover? Or a really fat homeless man plumber he met when he stopped up the crapper?
Well, who did he choose?
Neither. He was hit by a blonde woman in an SUV and left to die on the road with no explanation. But that's the moral of Christmas time, right?
So what you're saying is that I should marry my mean fiancé?
No, stupid. Oh, you're so stupid. How can you be this dumb? I mean, that's stupid.
So then what you're saying is that I should choose the plumber?
Yes. Wow, geez, I'm really starting to see where your fiancé is coming from. You are stupid. Stupid.
I mean, really dumb,
okay,
Noelle.
Well, I hope I have enough time to go stop up the toilet again.
Right? Well, I mean, you are stupid. Can you do it? I don't know. Stupid. I mean, oh, should I marry my mean fiancé? Yeah, dummy. Go ahead. So did you make a decision? I have a businessman meeting to go to in the business world.
Yes, I did. I did make a decision. I choose the Christmas spirit. And I choose this plumber with potentially no future. He's homeless. But I just met him, and he believes in me, and he believes in my store.
Good luck with that. Good luck with your stupid store with the pretzel cookies and this pointless plumber idiot. All of it's the big pipe dream. You know, because the pipes, he happens to work with pipes, and that's his chosen profession. It's a pipe dream. I think it worked. I don't understand why you didn't.
Now, let's go fix that crapper together. You know, before I get started fixing your crapper, I just want to say this. I might not be a businessman like your businessman boyfriend. I might not have the intelligence, the pleasant odor, or the lack of mouth sores. I can't even afford a big fancy ring. But I can afford this.
Wait, did you just find that on the floor?
Well, yes, but that doesn't change the question. Will you marry me?
Yes!
I hope you enjoyed the Christmas twist. We'll have that up on the YouTube page as well if you want to watch over the holiday season. This is our last show of the year. We are excited, I think, to take a break from the news. It's been a tough one, hasn't it? There's been a lot that's gone on. I'm ready to do some family stuff, kind of pick up the Christmas spirit here in the next week. It never takes long, of course, before I'm ranting about some news story off the air, so maybe check in on social media and such before my wife, you know, wants to throw me out of the house for continuing to do it. If you listen to radio, you've probably heard that I'm going to be leaving the radio show at some point in 2026 for something new. I can't talk about really what that is yet, but I am pretty excited about it. I've been working with Glenn directly for something like 27 years, and I will be on to my 28th year next year. It's going to be a big change in my life and you know, in the show at some level. I'm sure it's going to be fantastic, but yeah, I have mixed feelings, of course, about leaving, but excitement as well on the other side. More on that in the new year. But take a second to go to our YouTube page and follow the page. Please, I beg of you, go follow the page and click the bell for notifications. I will give you all the detail I'm able to the second that I am able to do it. I promise you that. Now, some inside baseball here. Both Glenn and the Blaze have been great to work with. This is something I like to make fun of Glenn all the time. But they have been great to work with throughout this entire process and super encouraging and supportive throughout everything. And honestly, I expect nothing less. It is a great place to be. I've had a great time throughout my time with Glenn and, of course, here on The Blaze as well. If you are a conservative commentator and you're looking for a new place to land, I got to say, great place, Blaze TV. Come here. They'll let you say whatever you want. They'll say what you believe. And that's really what the most important thing is. This show marks the end of my sixth year doing Stu Does America. We started up a few weeks after COVID, and we've given you more charts per capita than any show in television history. I just wanted to thank you so much for tuning in every day. I love this community we've built together over the years. We've got some of the greatest conservanerds ever assembled in one place,
And we'll have some great stuff for you in 2026 as well, right here on Blaze TV. It's going to be a very important year, the election, and of course, more importantly, the Eagles working to defend their Super Bowl championship. So we will see you then. In the interim, thank you so much. I love you, and we will see you soon. Merry Christmas.